Karen Hartglass here with It's All About Food. Okay, we didn't talk about food the first portion of the show, so I am going to fill your bellies and your minds with more food talk in the second part of this show, because it's my favorite subject, and as I mentioned, something near and dear to my heart, and that is food. And food can really nurture our hearts in so many ways. And the thing that I want to focus on today is how food nurtures our health specifically. You know, I do private coaching, and most of the time it's for people who just want to eat more plants. And I do my best to come up with a plan for each individual that will fit their different lifestyles and needs and tastes and budget, etc. And but from time to time, I do talk to people who are in health crisis, specifically cancer. I was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer 10 years ago, and I can't believe it's been 10 years. It'll be 10 years in October. And I'm still here. I'm still here. And because I'm still here, I'm happy to share with everyone what I know helped me and share that with other people. And at the same time, I'm always scouring the literature, reading information by my colleagues who are experts, doctors and nutritionists and dietitians, to help put together new plans for people that are experiencing one thing or another. And not every plan works for everyone and their lifestyles. And I thought, because I've been focusing a bit on cancer for some particular clients these days, I thought I might share some of the things that I'm discovering. And it's interesting, because I'm always looking for food. I believe that natural food, whole food sources are really the best way to support our immune system, boost our immune system, energize our immune system, and reduce risk of disease. But even still, even when we're healthy vegans, healthy plant-based eaters, there are so many toxic things in the world that can seep through and cause things to go out of balance when we least expect it. It happens. We're human. We are vulnerable. And as I like to quote my dad from time to time, nobody gets out of this world alive. So something's going to get us. But what I want to encourage and support is that we can live long, healthy, quality lives, feeling good. And then some point way later, when we're like 150 or something, we get a little slow, tired, and we just go to sleep. But in the meanwhile, we've got some work to do, right? So let's talk about food and how some of the research is showing which foods in particular are really, really showing benefits. So the first thing I want to talk about is the phases in a trial. We've talked about how expensive research is, and there are different phases that pharmaceutical companies or researchers have to go through in order to prove to everyone that what they found is safe and efficient and shows some benefit. And it can take 12 to 18 years to discover and develop a product before it passes all of the necessary tests to be approved by our government as safe and effective. And some of the products that actually go through this long and expensive over $1 billion cost project, some of them in the end aren't that safe and aren't that effective. So it's a really challenging process. You've heard of the different phases of clinical research. People have to come up with an idea and go through some preclinical stage. And then there are actually five phases, phase 0, phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, and phase 4. And very often things kind of stop around phase two. The first few phases don't use very many people, 10 people, 20 to 100 in phase one, and 100 to 300 in phase two. And then it starts to get really expensive in phase three when 1,000 to 2,000 people are required. And then it goes from there. So there's tremendous cost. It's very difficult. And who's going to pay for this? Well, it's typically the pharmaceutical companies who want to know that they're going to make a profit ultimately. So they do a lot of investing. The other part that's a challenge in research is when something is thought to be beneficial for one reason or another. Typically what we do, something that T. Colin Campbell often calls reductionism, we extract the beneficial ingredient either from a food or from a plant and do tests, typically in vitro in a lab environment, to see what it does. And with cancer, I mean, it's fascinating. With cancer, we have a handful of cell lines. These are cancer cells that were taken from a handful of humans, a number of them from the 1970s, and they have been grown and are now being used in all kinds of experiments. It's fascinating because many tests are done on the same kind of cell, so it's an apple-to-apple-to-apple comparison. But some people that these cancer cells were taken from, who are now long gone, they live on in research. And the other thing about research is, in order to go through these phases, they have to be tested on animals. And this is an unpleasant reality for us, for those of us who don't believe that animals should be involved in testing, and non-human animals, of course. I always like to make that clarification. Because what happens to non-human animals does not guarantee it will happen to humans. Okay, so can you get to what the foods you wanted to talk about, Karen? Yes, of course. Now, I've mentioned mushrooms before, and I'm going to talk a little bit about mushrooms now because they're really wonderful. I like to call mushrooms natural chemotherapy. And I had heard about the power of mushrooms 10 years ago when I was going through my treatment, and I ended up, the many supplements that I purchased during my treatment, I took a concentrated Coriolis product. And there's been a lot more research on the Coriolis, which is also called turkey tail, and some of the other mushroom products in the last 10 years. And a lot of it's fascinating and very positive. But very often you hear in the media that they say white button mushrooms will prevent breast cancer, right? You've heard that. I've heard it. And I've said it. There are lots of filtered down, almost watered down statements that we hear in the media that to advertise something, and I think it's important to really understand, and it's hard to understand because you have to go to the original source, which is the peer-reviewed public research paper that presented it, and then read how they prepared the samples, who was involved, did they do in vitro study, did they extract materials. It's complicated, and then you might have some understanding on what was meant when you heard the line that approximately one button mushroom per day has been linked to a 64% decrease in the risk of breast cancer. In that particular study, they were actually looking at the white mushroom's impact on inhibiting aromatase activity and on breast cancer cell proliferation. It was actually from about 15 years ago. And they can't actually prove that giving women one button mushroom a day is going to prevent cancer, but they can prove that an activity that has been shown to cause breast cancer cells to grow can be reduced or inhibited, and then they can make these very broad statements. But the bottom line is, I think we're pretty well convinced that mushrooms have very positive health-promoting properties. But here's another thing that they do in the research. In the research, they don't have humans just chomping on mushrooms, and then they watch to see if they get cancer or not. That takes forever. That's expensive, and it won't even guarantee that it's the mushroom that's doing the trick. No, what they have to do is, in a short period of time, study a particular ingredient. In the mushroom's case, they do extractions. So they extract from the mushroom the ingredients that they think are going to have the benefit in reducing cancer risk, either for supporting the immune system, so the immune system can work at fighting the cancer, or by causing apoptosis, which is causing cancer cells to die. It's hard. And so with mushrooms, for example, there are water-based extractions, and then there are alcohol-based extractions. So the reason why I'm bringing this up is, when you eat a mushroom, my understanding now is the best way to do it is to cook your mushrooms in water for at least 30 minutes. And this will enable the valuable things in the mushrooms that are going to be useful to you to be accessible through digestion. You want to be able to get through those tough cell walls in the mushrooms, and boiling them for 30 minutes will do it. And there are places that make these mushroom extractions, and what they do is sometimes they boil a mushroom first, and then they take the product and then soak it in alcohol for like a month, and then they have to do some filtering processes, and they'll sell tinctures that you can buy that have a concentrated mushroom product that has been extracted through hot water or alcohol. It's complicated. And I personally want to believe that the whole food is best. It's fascinating to learn these things, and maybe, indeed, we will ultimately get the ultimate goal, which is a pill that people can take that can contain all the valuable things that we're discovering about mushrooms and other foods. But I want to believe that the body knows best, and nature has created things for us with a very complicated array of things that work in harmony together. And that's why I believe it's so important to eat whole foods and whole mushrooms. But mushrooms do need to be cooked. And I am now at a point where I'm not just quickly stir-frying my mushrooms anymore. I'm letting them cook, boil for 30 minutes before I use them. And I use dried mushrooms very often, and fresh mushrooms as well. So you can prepare a large amount of mushrooms, cooking them in water, make a week's worth, or freeze some of it, and have that to add to your soups, your stews, just sip on it as it is. But this is a very valuable, healthy food, so I hope that you take advantage of the power of mushrooms. Now, if you don't like mushrooms, you can either cross your fingers and hope you never need them and eat all the other healthy foods that are out there, or you might learn to like them, or at least learn how to eat them where you don't have the texture that you might feel is unpleasant. And you can do that by using mushroom powders or mushroom broths. Let's see, what else have we got here regarding marvelous, marvelous mushrooms? Right, so the other side of mushrooms is that I think they're delicious, and especially when we're being vegan and we want to not eat meat products, mushrooms are often called meat or explain that they have a meaty texture. And some of the ones that we're starting to see in farmers markets that have not been as popular before, like maitake, for example, are very meaty, very chewy, very, very flavorful, just yummy. And I was wondering, since I was mentioning about water extractions and alcohol extractions, I don't know this, but I'm thinking that cooking the mushrooms in wine may actually be therapeutic. It's never been tested, but wine does have alcohol in it, and I'm thinking that it can help bring out some of the good things and make them more absorbable and more accessible. And now I just want to share, before I get on to the next bunch of foods and products that I wanted to talk about, here I am in California, and we do love visiting a certain number of restaurants while we're here. So while I'm on the subject of mushrooms, we went to Herbivore a few days ago, and that's a restaurant up in San Francisco. It's all vegan, and Herbivore is one of those wonderful restaurants that's been around for a while where the food is really clean. They have great big salads and soups. You can have some decadent things there as well, but it's very easy to make a very sensible, nutritious choice there and enjoy it. So I like to get big salads there. I love their green juice. They add mint to their green juice, which always tickles my tongue, like, oh, that's a nice, fresh taste that I don't always get in my daily green juice. But they have this big bowl of soup, and you may know that I'm a big fan of big soups, and that they've since modified the recipe since I've been there, since more of these meat analogs are out. And I don't always go for the meat analogs, but I went for the ginger broth with veggie beef, and what I loved in it were the mushrooms. There were these really wonderful mushrooms that were beefy. It wasn't even the, I think there were actually oyster mushrooms maybe that were in there, but they were just so good. Thinking about it right now is really making me hungry. But I just had a big bowl of soup and had plenty of mushrooms in it, so I'm not really hungry. The other place that we've been going to probably a little more than we should is Veggie Grill. It's near where we're staying, and it's fun, and it's just very convenient. And there, too, I try to make the most sensible choice. Now, Veggie Grill is a fast food vegan restaurant. It's here in California, and I'm sure they'll be spreading around to other places. And they have a really fun menu. But they are catering to a American palate, a standard American diet kind of palate, which is loaded with salt and sugar and oil. They may be cleaner than some other places, but I've just found that some of their salad dressings are a little too sweet with me, with sugar and agave, so I'm trying to be really careful when I order there. They have this one sandwich called Papa's Portobello, and I had it once with bread, and then I realized that they had a bread-free kale-style option where they serve it on kale, and then you have to eat it with a fork and knife, but I thought that was a really great option, and I appreciated them having it, and it was just so yummy. There are lots of wonderful mushrooms out there, and they're all good. The study that I mentioned before from 2001 that frequently gets a lot of press because of the power of the button mushroom and its inhibiting aromatase activity and breast cancer cell proliferation. They tested a number of vegetables and mushrooms in that same study. They tested wood ear, crimini, oyster mushrooms, Italian brown mushrooms, enoki, and baby button mushrooms, and stuffing mushrooms, and shiitake mushrooms, my favorite, chanterelle, which are the most delicious mushrooms, I think, on the planet, and portobello. And you can look for that study online. It's called White Button Mushrooms, Phytochemicals Inhibit Aromatase Activity in Breast Cell Cancer Proliferation. It's on the NCBI.NLM.NIH.gov PubMed website. Whew. But the white button mushroom was at the top in terms of this particular activity that they were looking for. The other mushrooms had some activity, but they did not fare as well. So it's not necessarily the most exotic or the most wild or the most expensive mushroom that's going to give you benefits. I think they all will give benefits, and they probably give different kinds of benefits, which is why you want to mix them up, because variety is not only the spice of life, but it's a healthy part of life. I wanted to talk about two other items. So when I was going through my treatment back in 2006, 2007, and I was advised by the Block Center, Keith Block in Illinois, about all these different supplements they recommended I take. And then I also had a consultation with Dr. Ralph Moss, who is a specialist in conventional and alternative cancer treatments. And you can go to his website. What is it? I'll have to look that up. But you can purchase from him his report that come out every year on cancer, or a consultation with him. And it's expensive, but it can be very helpful because he is right there with his fingertip on all the latest research that's going on, and it can save your life. His website's cancerdecisions.com, and he talks about different foods that are helpful in cancer treatment as well. And then, of course, I consulted back then with Dr. Furman as well, and he was very helpful. And it was funny because my mom, at the time, was getting different pieces in the mail recommending different vitamins and supplements. Very often companies will target seniors to get them to buy different products. And most of the time, they're just a waste of money. But she had gotten some literature on a product called Ave, and I ended up buying the product and using it. It's from the Harmony Company, and I can't say if that was part of my healing or not, but I did use it. And they have since worked on this product quite a bit. It's from fermented wheat germ. It's an extract from fermented wheat germ, and it, in a number of different studies over the last 10 years since I've used it, it has shown some really positive benefit, anti-proliferative effects against ovarian cancer cell lines and other types of cancer. It is a pricey product, maybe not as expensive as chemotherapy, and it is natural and doesn't have those toxic side effects. So it's definitely something to look into if you know people that are going through a cancer experience. Ave from the Harmony Company, a fermented wheat germ extract. And I just have, like, how is it I always run out of time? The other thing I wanted to talk very briefly about is Noni. You've heard about Noni juice, and there are research studies that have been going on for a while now on Morinda citrifolia, which is Noni, and the studies are on the fruit, the seeds, the leaves. You can Google it and find out all kinds of interesting things. But, again, the studies that have been going on are showing some really positive results. Most of them are on mouse cancer cells in vitro. So we're not talking about things that have been given to humans and shown positive effect. That's like too hard and too possible to do. And but there were some very positive results recently on lung cancer using the Noni products. And that's definitely worth Googling and looking into. Morinda citrifolia. So there's lots of positive things out there on the horizon. And, you know, if you are looking for some information and confused about some information, I'm always here. You can email me at info@realmeals.org, and I will try and help you and make sense of whatever it is you found or the questions you may have. The last thing I want to mention back, talking about mushrooms, because I have just like a couple of minutes, is because I forgot to mention this, is there are different parts of the mushroom. And if you're getting a concentrated mushroom supplement, you want to look and see where the mushroom came from, or what part of the mushroom they're using. Are they using the actual fruit, which is the part of the mushroom we see above ground, or are they using a cheaper mycelium product, which is like the root fibers in the dirt? And unfortunately, the mycelium is part of the mushroom. As I said, it's a cheaper product, and it's not as effective. So you want to make sure if you're buying a mushroom supplement to find out what part of the mushroom is actually being used. Whew! Yes, so we just have like a minute or so left, and I hope you've been visiting my blog, Ask a Vegan, because I put it there for you and only you to help you along your way and give you ideas. The soup that I was just eating, I referred to before, is just incredible. I just put the recipe up at responsibleeatingandliving.com. It is a tricolore carrot and red lentil soup. I threw it together in like seconds, and it's incredibly delicious. And I used purple, yellow, and orange carrots. They seem to be out in different markets from time to time, and each color has different nutritional benefits, and they're all very sweet and lovely. And red lentils cook up super fast. Of course, the mushrooms are in there. I cooked them all for 30 minutes, some onions, and I think that was just about it. And it's just amazing, delicious soup. So I hope you go to responsibleeatingandliving.com and try that. Oh, all right then. So remember, send me an email at info@realmeals.org with your comments and questions, and we'll talk next week, shall we? In the meantime, have a delicious week.